My dear brethren, it's a joy for me to stand before you this morning to give some guidance to the meditation opportunity that we have in the Word of God. As you know, I'm scheduled to lead the meditation today and tomorrow, and on each occasion, what I purpose to do is to select a passage of Scripture and then to seek to open it up, explain it as best I can with God's help, and then to apply it. You know what a meditation is, brethren? You know what it is when you see a hummingbird enjoying the nectar as it hovers over the flower and sucks the nectar out of the plant? That's what we're going to do with the Word of God in our meditation. We're going to hover over the Word of God and seek to draw out the beautiful nectar of spiritual nourishment that God has given to us in His Word. So I would encourage you as we do that to be thinking about what you see there in the Word for which you are glad and thankful. And as you see things to be thankful for, meditate upon it. Pray about it in the secret of your own heart, in the quietness of your own heart. Praise God for what you see as you look into your Bibles this morning and meditate upon His Word. And this morning's passage is found in Romans, Paul's epistle to the Roman church, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let us meditate upon the Word of God. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we even glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. We need to understand at least something of the context of this passage. In the early chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been speaking about the tragic state of our condition without God. We are lost and dead in our sins, he tells us. We are without any righteousness of our own. We are sinners. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And it's a tragic picture that he's painting in the early chapters, showing us the dreadful state of our sinful hearts by nature. But when we come to chapter 5, we've come into something of the solution to that problem. And Paul is going to show us that God's righteousness has been revealed from heaven to deal with our sins. And that righteousness can become ours by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read these opening verses of chapter 5, there's this little word, therefore. We have been justified. Having been justified. What does he mean by having been justified? Well, he means that the sin problem has been dealt with. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, he says. Oh, my brethren, this morning, if you know that, rejoice in it. If you know the peace of God, meditate upon it. Thank God for it, because your conscience has been dealt with. Your guilt has been dealt with. Your shame has been dealt with. Jesus has taken your sins to the cross and paid the price and redeemed you, and you have peace with God. That's something to meditate upon. That's the most profound thing in all the world to be thankful for. And so we see that justification is his great theme here. Having been justified by faith. Now, if you are a good Reformed Baptist, and I'm sure you all are, you know that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, and it's all by grace. By grace we have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is telling us something of that in these verses. Look with me at verses 1 and 2 and see how he tells us that we are justified by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and then in verse 2, through whom also, that is, through Jesus Christ, we have access by faith. Our justification, our salvation, is all achieved by faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith is a gift from God, because a dead man cannot exercise faith. So if God has wakened us up to flee from the wrath to come, if God has wakened us up to see our sins and to see the beauty of Jesus and to see the power of his blood to cleanse, all of that is a gift from God. He has done it. He has opened our eyes, and he it is who gives faith to trust in Jesus. Thank God for that faith that you have. It's a gift. It's not something you have so much done as something God has given you to do. And Paul wants us to understand that our justification is by faith, and that faith has been given to us by God. Also in verse 1, we notice that this justification of the sinner brings peace with God. Notice that in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thank God that you have that peace, my brethren. As we begin our conference sessions today, sitting here under the ministry of the Word, what a blessing to know that our sins have been dealt with. What a blessing to know that they have been taken away. What a blessing to know that they have been taken away as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That brings peace with God. And who has done that? Jesus has done it for us. Our salvation, my dear brethren, has been secured by the Lord Jesus, entirely by his own merits, entirely outside of ourselves. He has secured for us peace with God. Bless God for it and suck the nectar of that spiritual juice into your soul this morning and remind yourself, I'm redeemed. I have peace with God because Jesus has died upon the cross and been raised from the grave. Verse 2, let's move on and see through whom we have received access by faith into this grace. Of course, the answer is, it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is granted to the sinner, and Paul uses that word grace in verse 2. Through whom we have received faith into this grace. Saved, a sinner is saved by grace. And what is grace? Remember, it is something that has been given to us by God. Undeserved, but given to sinners. Grace. And all of that is found in Jesus our Savior. Notice in verse 1, Jesus is the one through whom all these blessings come to us. We have received peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote these words, I can imagine him thinking of, as he writes them, how can I convey the vastness of this wonderful plan of salvation? Grace, all grace. Jesus, it's all of Jesus. Faith, it's all of faith. And he molds these words together and reminds us that our justification is all of grace by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In verse 2, he describes a very important condition. Look what he says. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, what does he mean by that? The believer's standing, he's telling us, is a condition of acceptance. When a sinner is justified before God, he stands justified. It's a new standing. If you're a Christian, you have a new standing before God. And you have it because God in His grace has opened your eyes and shown you the beauty of Jesus and shown you your sins have been dealt with and given you faith to believe in Jesus. That's a new standing you have, a new relationship you have. And it's a standing that we all must have if we're ever to enter heaven. You see, by nature, we don't have that standing. By nature, the standing we have is that we are enemies of God. We are sinners. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're under judgment. We're under condemnation. But now, through Jesus our Savior, we have a new standing. It's a standing of being justified. Now let's turn to the next verse. Verse 3, 4 and 5. In the first two verses, he's been speaking about our justification. But now he turns and begins to speak about our sanctification. He says, and not only that, but we even glory in tribulation. As I look out upon you this morning, I know that many of you have trials and difficulties, physical trials. Some of you have emotional trials. Some of you have family trials. Some of you, in fact, all of you, have some trial or other, don't you? And Paul wants you to know that now that you're justified, you can even rejoice in your tribulations. He says, not only Am I a blessed man? But I'm able, in the blessing of justification, to rejoice even in my tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. What happened to the time? It disappeared on me. I wanted to say so much to you this morning about perseverance. Paul is talking about the sanctified life. He's talking about how God has, on the one hand, He secured our justification entirely by the work of Jesus Christ. Entirely outside of ourselves, Jesus' death and resurrection has provided for us salvation, and it's all of grace, and God has done it. But now he turns to the Christian life, the outworking of that justification, called sanctification. And he says, your trials, your tribulations work for you perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts this morning. Rejoice in it, brethren. In the midst of your tribulation, even in the midst of your tribulation, bless God that he loves you and that he's poured out his love through his dear Son being offered up on the cross for us. When I was a little boy, I went to junior school in England, where I was raised. And every time term ended, we were given a report card. And on that report card were listed all the usual things like reading, writing, and arithmetic, and a score was given for you to take home and show your parents. But on my card, I remember there was one word that I never really understood, and which the teacher wrote, very good, alongside the word perseverance. That's a big long word for some of you children. I wonder if you know what it means. Paul speaks about it here. He says, and not only that is, not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but even glorying in tribulations. Paul wants us to know that we can glory in God's salvation, but we can glory also, and should glory, in our tribulations, because it produces perseverance. If you are making a cake, you have to persevere in completing, putting all the ingredients in, and baking the cake, even though the kitchen is hot. If you're running a race, you need to run with perseverance to finish the race, even if your foot hurts you, or if you're running out of breath, you must still keep on going on, because the aim is to race and win. To persevere is necessary in every aspect of life, even if you're sitting at home reading a chapter of the Bible and you're feeling so tired, you need to persevere in your reading and get to the end of the chapter and make sure that you are feeding your soul with it. Every task has its difficulties. Let's not fool ourselves. We live in a fallen world, and there are difficulties all around us. No matter what we're doing, there will be difficulties. And the importance of perseverance is to go beyond the problem to the finishing task, to reach the tape. What is Christian perseverance? It's the completion of our earthly pilgrimage in spite of the difficulties, spiritual difficulties that we must face. It's getting home complete. James says in his letter, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The Bible speaks about a number of ways in which we are tested. Sometimes God permits us to pass through experiences in which, like gold in a furnace is heated until all the impurities come to the top and then skimmed off, and the end result is pure gold. And he says, when you persevere, that's the object, that's the aim of it all, that you may come out purified like gold. Faith tried in the furnace. Faith that perseveres. Faith that even rejoices in tribulation is a faith that endures to the end and perseveres. You know, I've learned a lesson in recent years that I thought I knew, but I found out I didn't. And it's this: the tribulation is an opportunity to share the gospel. Tribulation is an opportunity to speak of God's mercy. Trials give us an opportunity to bless God for His goodness in spite of all of our sins. Tribulations and trials offer a wonderful opportunity to tell of God's goodness and mercy and of the comforts of the gospel. So when you walk out of this room this morning and you look out at that gray sky and the rain, and don't complain. Bless God. When you consider that arthritis that is so painful, don't tell your neighbor that you're suffering. Tell them you're rejoicing in the goodness of God, even in your tribulation, Paul says. Use your trials and your difficulties to glorify God and to share the gospel. That's what I want to say to you this morning. It's a simple message. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to learn it. In perseverance, we come to see God more clearly. We see that God is working all things together for good to those that love Him. And we're able to say, it was good for me to suffer like that. I learned God's precepts through them. And I learned to rejoice even in my sufferings. Well, may God help us to put into practice these spiritual truths, to suck nourishment out of them into our souls, and to be strengthened in our faith as we do so. Amen.